one of those realizations when you realize it. Told Mac during the break, Yankees aren't in town.
No, they're on the road. They're heading to Cleveland.
Smart.
Yeah. So the Mets will be home.
Ah, well, they could be home anyway.
Yeah. They already are.
I told Mac, I'm like, have you ever seen Men in Black? And he's like, oh, yeah, for sure. I'm like, the guy that's like the bug guy, the main villain? I was like, that's Private Pyle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's also in Law and Order.
Yeah, I saw that text. Got to watch that. Yeah. Apparently, he's great in Law and Order. I mean, he was fantastic in that movie. He's great in Men in Black, too. As soon as you said that, I was like, oh, my gosh, yes.
I have a hard time watching him, I'll be honest with you, just because of that movie.
Oh,
I mean, it's funny
it's
how
intense.
Characters change the actor for you.
And then Matthew Modine would have a career as well. As you know, he's in the Dark Knight Rises. He's the commissioner of police chief, but he's like one of the guys. And they go to his house, like, what are you doing? Like when Gordon shows his house, I'm not going out there.
Oh,
he's like,
wow.
You're the face of police. You better get out there. And then he goes out there and dies in the streets. Yeah, Modine was like a big 80s actor as well.
Was anybody more, I'm trying to think of the word that I'm looking for, on their game in 80s movies than Steve Guttenberg?
He's pretty good.
I mean, I watched Molly Police Ringwald. Academy the other day for whatever reason. I caught the end of it, like the last half hour of the first Police Academy. And I'm like, Steve Guttenberg was in everything back in those days. Like literally everything. Three Men and a Baby, every Police Academy
Well, and then
movie.
It's funny is he's in the movie It Takes Two in the 90s with the Olsen twins, and he's with Kirstie Alley.
Oh, yeah.
And they were both, you know, she's in Look Who's Talking with Travolta and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, Guttenberg was big in the 80s, I would say. Molly Ringwald's probably up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of names out there that we're not thinking of, but when you think of the 80s, you think of like, yeah, Steve Guttenberg definitely had himself a run.
Mm-hmm. The City Hall of New York has just announced another Knicks watch party.
Oh, good.
Capacity at 5,000 at Bryant Park. Free registration is required. This is in addition to a 5,000 watch party at Woolman Rink and another one at Brooklyn Bowl. So they've got these 5,000 people watch parties set up outside all over New York City tonight.
Also, have you seen Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, another good one, yeah.
I've not seen that one.
You can add that to the queue.
Yeah.
That's Sir Anthony Hopkins' greatest film he's ever done.
Yeah, if you've got 913-586-7965, what's the next Max summer movie? Let's get some choices in here.
Maybe that should just be our new poll question. We'll just put four movies up, and whatever wins,
yeah.
That's what you
got to
watch.
Well, what are you looking for now? I mean, that was an intense movie. Let's not kid ourselves, right?
Oh, it was.
That thing, Full Metal Jacket Mac watched, if you missed his review last segment, we talked about it. Intense. Very, very intense movie. So do you want something that's going to give you a little bit of a break?
maybe we could lax it up a bit this time and then go back to intense. Yeah. I mean, I'm down with whatever, though. I just want some classics. Cable Guy's great. We
Cable
can do a
Guy's
sports
a good
movie.
One. Yeah.
If you've got a classic
Liar,
sports movie.
Liar, Liar is a good one with Maller's producer starring in it. So you can talk to Ben about that. Let's see what else is out there that's pretty good. I don't know. There's a lot of great movies out there. We'll figure it out. We'll get you going all week long.
Well, KU needs to figure it out. They lost game one, what, 8-2?
8-1.
And they're down 8-1 in the third inning as that game was postponed yesterday. You were there.
Yeah, we're going back up after the show today to see the Nooner. To get a little Nooner and Lawrence. Been a while since I had a Nooner and Lawrence, if you know what I mean. Lunch. So we're going to go up there, watch the end of this game. But, I mean, last night it was really cool being up there for this baseball program. And seeing the fans really buying in and the positivity that the Kansas fans have, even down 8-1 yesterday, was like, yeah, we'll find a way. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. And I love that. I love that. It reminds me kind of a little bit, very small way, of Chiefs fans. Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. And for an organization that really hasn't done much except for the last 2 years, right? I mean, it's been since 93 since Kansas was in the College World Series. It was a lot of fun being up in Lawrence. And so we'll go back up today and watch the last six innings of, you know, that first game and see what happens. But it's a tough hole to climb out of being down 8-1 early on in a ballgame. But it's early in the game, and you still got your opportunity to come back. The only thing that really does suck about this, though, Kansas isn't the home team.
That's how many people from Oklahoma?
No, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Just because you're playing at home doesn't mean you're the home team.
Yes, yeah.
Now, if it goes to a game three, they'll be the home team. So they get two of the three as the home team. But today you're down. You like to have those last licks, you know,
and
you don't have that opportunity to do so. So it was fun. No, it was great to kind of be up there and really just remember what postseason baseball is all about and how every single pitch matters, man. It's great.
Would be awesome if they came back and won the game today, because then you get a game three elimination game because the College World Series start in Omaha on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you a text this weekend because I'm like, I don't know how much Twitter you do on the weekends, but Manny Machado said this.
I just wish we can get the analytics out the way. I think there's too many stats out there, too many stats, way too many numbers. I don't even know half of the stuff that goes up there. I look at the board sometimes and I'm like, man, I even asked some of the guys, like, what is WCCVBB, whatever it is? Like, what are these names that are being created? You know, I mean, it's just crazy to even keep up with.
Weighted expected on base percentage?
Is it? Is that what it is? Yeah, what is that?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. I mean, the pitching stuff, like FIP or something like that, I think, right?
Fielding independent pitching.
Yeah, like, what is that?
That's taking out the defense to say this guy.
All right, so why would you have that stat?
Isn't baseball how much of a stud a guy really is?
Yeah, but it takes a team to win a ball game, and not just one person. One person could be that guy, right? So one person could carry a team, but this is a team sport. You don't win a championship by just one player. It takes a whole damn village to do it. So why are we creating these stats for? You know, I think that's the problem with baseball right now.
I don't disagree with a damn thing. He said, bravo, Manny. I feel like the war on analytics is very heavy this year, guys. I really do. Not just from Bob Fesco, but I feel like around baseball, we're seeing a lot of the war on analytics because I think players are done with this nonsense because, as he talks about, you're giving us all this information. It's clouding our judgment. That's why I told Nick Prado years ago, just swing, man. Just hit the see ball, hit ball. Stop worrying about all of the other stuff that's around it and just go out there and play baseball. And I do. I think that's really where it's come for a lot of these guys. And it's good to hear Manny Machado and others kind of voice this stuff because I don't think players like playing this style of baseball. It's not interesting. It's not an entertaining style of baseball either.
So buckle up and hold on real quick. There's a few things. I'll take the opposite side.
Yeah.
But I'm going to agree in a weird way. And I think Matt can kind of jump on this train as well. Manny Machado is the second worst hitter in baseball.
Oh, yeah, he's not doing well, yes.
So for him to kind of do that debunks a little bit. Analytics are everywhere. Now, here's the discussion. Analytics is a word, and this is credit to Mac Morey, is a word that people just use as a buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say analytics are sometimes overused in certain situations. But we use analytics in everything in life and in every sporting event that we watch. Analytics are there. The tush push would be an example for that. RPOs would be an example of that. You know, how you line up on fourth down. Fourth down analytics is 100%. In 1990, if it was fourth and one, you never went for it. Mm-hmm. I say never, you know, facetiously. The percentage of people going for it. And then analytically, it was like, well, the percentage of getting 1 yard in the NFL is actually this, whether it's first, second, third, or fourth down, you should be able to percentage-wise get this. That is analytics 101.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say is I don't think the analytics should fully run your team.
Not at all, no.
Now, we know that we hear this argument a lot with the Royals lineup, like, oh, well, this guy against lefties on, you know, this sort of day coming off this sort of rest, this sometimes that gets too much, and I will agree to that. But I think there's a lot of people that just use the word analytics and they don't really have the reasoning behind it or know what the definition of it is. I think you should have analytics. Like the other night, how about this? Kyle Isbell bunted with two strikes. Analytically, they would tell you to never do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyle Isbell is so damn good at bunting that he did that on his own.
Yeah.
And it was successful. But that's not analytics. Analytics would tell you not to bunt.
Oh, not to bunt.
With two strikes.
Yeah, not to bunt. No.
Common sense would tell you not to bunt with two strikes, right?
Yeah.
But that was Kyle Isbell going with feel, not number.
Right.
So it does happen. You just don't choose to watch it or you don't choose to soak it in. But there are people and teams and organizations that might lean heavily too much on analytics, and that can be a problem.
Yes.
Like this guy's never thrown more than 90 pitches. Analytically, that would say, you know what? He shouldn't go out there. Well, you don't know that, and right now he has one hit in seven innings and eight strikeouts.
Right.
Why don't you just let him do it? And then if the numbers show that he can't do it, now you have that statistical proof that says he probably shouldn't go out there for the eighth inning and go over 90 pitches. But until you don't know that, you don't know.
But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. And that's kind of, you know, where I am on it, too. It's like it feels like you have to be either 100% on analytics or 100% the other way, though. I feel like we've created this divide in our sports country, just like we have in our regular country. It's like it's either one side or the other, and there's no middle ground anymore. I feel like that's kind of where we've gotten to, and you've got people on both sides just clashing heads when I say, I don't care anymore. I don't want anything that you have to say about you. You need some of this analytical stuff, some of these numbers. Like,
yeah.
I do like, what is this guy hitting against this pitcher if there's a good sample size? but you can't let numbers take over common sense. And that's what Tampa Bay did in the Bubble World Series. They allowed analytics to take over common sense when Blake Snell was rolling along. Guys, we've seen Q make some really bad decisions over the last 2 weeks. Really bad decisions over the last 2 weeks. And you took a hot guy out of the lineup, replaced him with somebody who wasn't getting the job done, continuing to go to Urseg for all of those times when you shouldn't have. Even yesterday, you go to Urseg and he gives up the only inherited runner, scores. Like, that's not analytics. That's eyes going, this guy just doesn't have it anymore. I can't put him in these type of situations. That has nothing to do with analytics. That has to do with a feel. And I think a lot of times the analytics side just takes over the feel side. And we forget that it's just a game. And we're dealing with athletes. We're not dealing with scientists. We're not dealing with doctors. We're dealing with athletes who, at the end of the day, just want to go out there and play baseball. And sometimes this analytics stuff prevents them from going out there and playing baseball at their fullest because they're thinking, they're not executing. And when you have players thinking and not executing, you're 15 games under 500, you're hitting 169, you're doing all of this stuff that you're not used to. We've got to get these players comfortable. And quite honestly, Dusty, to your point as well, it should be on a case-by-case basis. If you want those numbers and all that kind of stuff, great, you have them. And if I'm a player who doesn't want that stuff, please don't give it to me. As long as I'm doing my job and putting up the numbers that I'm expected, don't give me stuff that I don't want.
Yeah, you guys, we should ask Vern what he thinks about these comments. I'd love to hear his thoughts.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Josh Verner next on the 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.